everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Charlotte Hogarth-Jones, and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of super yachting is Caroline White, back from maternity leave and also fresh from the wondrous event that is Monaco Yacht Show. So today's podcast is basically just going to be me living vicariously through Caroline, because sadly I had COVID, and rather than bring the entire Boat International team down with me, decided to put all my very carefully planned outfits away back in the cupboard and stay at home. So let's start at the beginning, Caroline. Talk to me about the vibe. Was it busy? It looked pretty full from what I could see.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's always hectic and it's always exciting. And I wasn't at last year's yacht show because I was having a baby. But I understand that this last year it was a little bit weird, obviously, because COVID was going on. Everybody was wearing masks all the time. Meetings were quite curtailed and there were lots of rules. Whereas this year it looked completely back to normal, really lively and busy. And people said there were plenty of owners around and lots of good business was being done.
Were there any kind of restrictions in terms of where you could go or what you could do?
I didn't see any restrictions around, really. I mean, there was hand sanitizer in a few places, but most of the show is open air anyway. So by its nature, it's relatively safe. And even a lot of the press conferences are on yachts on the aft deck, for example. So you're pretty safe as it goes. So, I mean, I didn't see any restrictions, really. And I think it was pretty safe.
And I hear compared to Cannes, where everyone was kind of changing shirt three times a day, it wasn't scorchingly hot.
Well, no, it wasn't, but it was very windy and choppy. And at least one event I know of, which involved taking a catamaran around the coast of Ventimiglia, had to be cancelled. Our social media editor actually took a tumble getting off Kent's show.
He
very ambitiously tried to jump into a tender. and landed on his head, basically, poor guy. Luckily, he's very young and bouncy, so he was okay. But on Wednesday, we had a party for our owners club on the new Golden Yachts 88-meter Project X, which was moored in a very protected position on the dock. And usually on a boat like that, you're used to feeling basically like you're on land, really solid. But this was actually moving quite a lot. I mean, not a huge amount because it is a very big boat, but you could feel that you were, you know, things were moving. So it was a real problem, I think, for getting clients on and off boats that were moored out. You definitely don't want them to be taking a tumble like our poor social media editor Adam did.
Yeah, I mean, that Project X yacht looked amazing. That was one of the ones I was particularly sad to miss. But I know you managed to get on board a few boats. Can you talk us through kind of what you saw and what the standout features of them were when you're on board?
So I canvassed our team to find out what the best boats were that they saw and their favourite features from those boats. I understand that the gym on the 115-metre Lursen Afo, which was our August cover boat, was incredible. Our US editor said that it was bigger than the public gym that she goes to, and also just beautifully done. The freestanding tub on the owner's suite of the Admiral 75-meter Kensho, which was our October cover boat, is carved out of a single piece of Carrara marble and apparently is absolutely spectacular. Then the five-story atrium on Golden Yachts Project X, that winds around a glass lift that's large enough for 12 people. Then there's an island in inverted commas on the foredeck of the Mangusta Ocean 44. That's a central sun pad that's surrounded by water in a pool, basically, that's accessible via a wooden bridge.
God, I can't imagine that. I'm thinking of the kind of little wooden bridges you get over pools in kind of all-inclusive resorts, but I bet it's nothing like that.
No, I mean, it's all-inclusive if you're on the yacht, but I think it's a little bit different. Then the owner's cabin on the Mangusta 165, which is larger than your average New York apartment and has these towering ceilings and huge windows. Then the AMOL 60-meter Come Together has this beautiful winch interior that our senior editor, Sophia, loved. There's nothing shiny about it, but it's instead a focus on creating texture through natural materials. So, for example, the staircase has this central helix column that runs up it, and that's inspired by traditional Japanese joinery techniques. So each individual handmade section of the column is unique and it's joined without glue.
Sounds amazing. In general, I'm loving this aesthetic for kind of much more raw, natural, lots of natural textures and materials and fibers and things. It's so much cooler than these kind of mega glossy sort of 80s looking boats. So yeah, it's always nice to see more of those. And that sounds like it was really beautiful.
Totally. And actually, that is a feature of the boat that was my personal favourite at the show. And it's not the biggest yacht at the show. That was the CDM 43 metre Akala. So it's an explorer yacht because that's what Cantieri Delamarche do. Even when they don't look like explorers, they're always tough little explorers. Mm-hmm. She was commissioned by a really experienced yachtsman who knew exactly what he wanted and he wasn't afraid to break the rules. So she's completely bespoke. Although I believe more will follow because I think she's proving rather popular. And the main thing to point out is that the traditional layout was totally torn up. And for example, she has a very small main saloon because the owner never used his saloons. It makes total sense. People often talk about this, but they rarely actually follow through and get rid of a large portion of the main saloon.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Exactly. And then similarly, he has a very modestly sized master because he says that he only sleeps there. Again, perfectly logical. I am talking about space that they're taking away, but they have put that space back on in some really interesting, sensible ways, which you'll get to read about very soon in the magazine. The exterior for that yacht is by Horatio Bozzo, and she has this beautiful, natural-looking interior by the Mexican designer Simon Hamui. I hope I'm saying that correctly, but it's a really spectacular interior. Very natural, but very, very polished. You kind of have to see it to understand why she's such a special yacht.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Well, we'll look forward to having a read of Akala in a forthcoming issue very soon. Meanwhile, I did manage to get some work done, but not talking about all these kind of raw and natural materials. One of the things I was working on was the complete opposite of that, in that we've got a great feature coming out for all of you on Adnan Khashoggi's famous yacht, Nabila. So that's coming out in our December issue. When you can also test out how much you've actually absorbed this past year in terms of the yachting stories with our bumper Christmas quiz. So I might test a few things out on you and Sophia and Stu in the coming weeks. But as always, I'm available now if people want me to, you know, people want to bribe me and I'll send them the answers. Very open to that.
It's so corrupt, Charlotte.
It's so, so corrupt. And as if anybody's going to do it, but, you know, always thought I'd put that out there. But no, it is quite fun. There's a mix of some very tricky questions and some easier ones. And what's quite tricky is the generational differences. There are some questions in there that I was thinking, oh, you know, would you know that if you're in your 20s? Would you know that if you're in your 60s? So if nothing else, it's a chance to prove how incredibly cultured and youthful slash worldly wise you are, depending on how you want to look at it. Anyway, that's what we've been working on features wise. So we'll move on to the news. And this week I thought if we stick with Monaco Yacht Show theme to start off with and go through some of the main stories to come out of the show, so that everyone's up to speed if they weren't there, which I think most people were. If you want the full kind of Monaco debrief, we've actually done a link to the top 10 news stories from Monaco. So we'll put that in the podcast description and you can have a thorough read of that. But here are just a few of them. Do you want to kick us off, Caroline?
Yep. So the Dutch yard Fedship used the Monaco Yacht Show to reveal a new 85 metre concept called Slice that it says turns the inside out and the outside in. Created by Studio De Voogt, the design incorporates a long strip of glass from bow to stern that allows light to flow through multiple decks. Other features include a 70 square meter atrium flanked by circular staircases and a 10 meter multi-level pool on the aft deck.
It's such a cool looking boat, that. You know, if you haven't seen it, definitely check out the pictures on that article, because I hadn't until this morning. And I love that strip of vertical glass down the center. It seems so obvious when you think about it, and it looks very sleek indeed.
Yeah, so every year Fedship releases a concept at the Monaco Yacht Show that they say is buildable. They are, you know, at the forefront of design and innovation, so they would know, so they're kind of showcasing their talents with that concept. But interestingly, this particular concept seems much more developed than ones that they've given out in previous years. I don't know if that means anything, but it was really taken to quite a detailed point.
Yeah, maybe they're really hoping that someone kind of snaps it up.
Maybe. Yeah.
Next up is news of another concept, which is that Heesen and Winch Design have joined forces on an explorer yacht concept called XV67. The concept offers high latitude cruising capabilities without compromising on luxury. and it features muscular lions and a three-deck owner's cabin with access to the crow's nest. Speaking during the announcement, Winch Designs' Jim Dixon said that the concept had been created to meet a fresh demand for expedition-style yachts.
Yeah, it's interesting to see that expedition trend still going strong, and designers who are best known for ultra sort of luxury interiors getting involved as well. So Sunseeker has presented their new Tri-Deck Ocean 460. The British shipyard revealed the bold new 42-metre semi-displacement model, which includes a near-vertical bow with a daring new asymmetrical open-air beach club. She offers 25% more interior volume than her sister model, the 40-metre 131 yacht, thanks to her 9.5-metre beam.
Yeah, so it sounds like she's going to pack in a lot of space, given how compact the boat is. Looking at the picture, she looks a lot bigger than a 42-metre, just in the design of things. And 25% more volume inside is quite significant.
Yeah, I mean, often people bang on about how much more volume their new yacht design has than other yachts of a similar length. But when the comparison is to a yacht that you're also making, you kind of know that the comparison is a fair one, if you know what I mean. You're not saying that it's got more volume than the competitor. You're saying it's got more volume than our own yacht, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, completely. Another story was that the Italian yard Benetti used the yacht show to showcase Project Oro, an 85-metre concept featuring a full custom design by Giorgio Cassetta. Based on the frequent design requests that the yard receives from prospective owners, Project Oro incorporates a large beach club with unfolding sea terraces and a 400-square-metre sun deck with lounging, dining and relaxation areas. So many of these yachts have just got these huge outdoor spaces now. That's very impressive and really cool looking. If you look at the pictures online, it's amazing. It's got this kind of sleek line at the front, and then it's almost like it sort of slopes down into the water. It's very elegant indeed.
Yeah, she sounds absolutely beautiful. A final one for us, I think, from the show. Project UFO, which is by Icon Yachts, they are going to begin work on the 70-metre conversion project. The Dutch shipbuilder Icon Yachts has started work on the conversion of 66-metre rescue and support vessel that will be transformed into a 70-metre explorer yacht named Project UFO. The build will feature an interior designed by H2 Yacht Design, and it will have ice class classification. With 3,000 gross tons, Project UFO has a master suite and four convertible VIPs for a total of 12 guests for charter and 18 during private operations.
This one, I'm so interested to see what happens with this one, because compared to the others, I'm not going to lie, it's not such a looker from the off after all these kind of beautiful concepts. It will be really interesting to see if they can transform this sort of slightly ugly duckling into something a bit prettier. But it sounds like they've got the right team on board to do that. And it sounds like she's going to be a proper explorer as well with that ice class classification. And then just to finish off with a couple of stories that weren't from the yacht show. One is that the salvage operation to recover the 49-metre sailing yacht Eleonora E, which was left half submerged after being hit by a 60-metre offshore supply vessel in Port Tarraco this summer, has been completed. The last phase of the operation was concluded on Monday, that's last Monday, September the 26th, after the vessel has been refloated and hauled out by the PTW Tarragona facility. The entire operation of the stricken vessel took 3 weeks in total and involved more than 30 personnel, so a big, big team there. The incident occurred when the engines of an offshore supply vessel attempting a manoeuvre in the port became stuck in reverse. Nasty. The vessel hit Eleonora E on the starboard side and punctured the hull amidship while she was berthed in an area of water between 4 to 5 metres deep. She began to list heavily before coming to rest on her side. After initial repairs were carried out underwater, Eleonora E was lifted from the land by two 250-ton cranes with the assistance of refloating balloons. Once upright, additional repairs were finished and the process of pumping water from the flooded compartments began before she was towed the 800 metres across the port to be lifted out. Her 9 crew members, including the captain, were on board at the time of the accident, but no injuries were reported. So it sounds like a major rescue job going on there.
Absolutely, and thank goodness nobody was hurt.
And finally, some news for big lovers of Four Seasons hotels, which is that the luxury hotel group has announced it's building a 207-metre Four Seasons yacht at Fincantieri. Due to hit the water in 2025, the 14-deck custom-designed vessel will have 9-to-5 cabins and offers a yacht experience for guests. Tilburg Designer from Sweden has been responsible for the design of the exterior and suites, with London-based Martin Brudzinski Design looking after the boat's guest areas. And it's also going to have creative direction by Prosper Asselin. The vessel, which is being described as an unprecedented luxury lifestyle project, is in the final design stages at Fincantieri. The Four Seasons yacht will be comprised of entirely of suites, with a build cost of $4.2 million per cabin. Each suite will have floor-to-ceiling windows, ceiling heights of more than 2.4 metres, and will combine indoor and outdoor living space. And the top residence will be called the Funnel Suite and will be spread across four floors, offering more than 892 square metres of living space, a private pool and spa area. So quite something in terms of the accommodation.
Is it in a funnel?
I don't know, you know. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know the answer, but it sounds like that's their kind of the sort of penthouse, if you will, kind of huge apartment really, more than 892 square meters. And it sounds quite sort of hotel-y, just in terms of, you know, there's gonna be 11 restaurants on board, full service spa. There's going to be a pool deck that's transformed into an outdoor cinema at night, and four reavers are going to be on hand to kind of tend a guest to the shore. But this is the kind of the Four Seasons inaugural journey is due to take place in late 2025, and it's going to be the first in a fleet of yachts for the brand. So really interesting to watch this kind of first one with interest. The order, which was finalized in July last year, amounts to 1.2 billion euros. And includes the option for two additional vessels. So yeah, interesting to see what happens there. Tilburg Design is definitely the leader in this kind of sector. I think they've done these kind of larger sort of borderline cruise ships, fractional ownership yachts before. So it'd be really interesting with this one to see who the kind of crowd that go for it, because I think, you know, they tend to go after a certain demographic, these boats. So I'm not sure who they're aiming for here, whether it's, you know, normal Four Seasons clients or a different group.
Well, often it from what I've heard, often with the with boats of this sort, people may already own a yacht, but they might not want to take their yacht to a particular destination. So you might keep your yacht in the Med, but perhaps go somewhere slightly more exotic on a boat like this, where you've got sort of yacht facilities and you can zoom around in a reaver and you've got the kind of glamour of a yacht, but you're not having to take your own vessel halfway across the world to somewhere potentially troublesome or even dangerous. Here you're kind of safe and you're not putting your own vessel at any risk.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know the itinerary of this boat, but we'll keep an eye on the story and see where it's actually going to and follow the launch closely. So that's all the news, both from Monaco and elsewhere in the world. And now onto the data. As always, brought to you by our exclusive market intelligence platform, Boat Pro. And this week, we're going to take a look at the brokerage market over 70 metres, because we saw some very big deals announced during the show. Yachts like Carinthia 7 and the first Amos 80. So we thought it'd be a good time to take a look, a more general look at sales in the 70 metre plus market over the past 4 years.
Okay, so if we look at 2019, pre-COVID, we had 8 sales in 2019. Then in 2020, during COVID, we had 5. 2021, which was a record year, we bounced back up to 13. And in 2022, we sort of seem to have stabilised at 12. So if we look at average LOA, 2019, it was 81.5. 2020, that dipped down to 74 metres. Then in 2021, again, the record year, we bounced back up to pre-COVID sort of numbers at 81.8. And 2022, we're 82.6. So actually marginally larger average LOA than we had pre-COVID, but basically stable. It's all looking pretty good. So if we look at average asking price, pre-COVID, we had just over 98 million. Then in during COVID, we had nearly 83 million. Then last year in 2021, we had around 84.8 million. And this year, we have bounced back to 98.1 million. So around the same asking price as pre-COVID. In fact, a little teeny bit more.
That's really interesting to see, because we've seen owners being increasingly bullish with their prices post-pandemic. And really interesting to see that even though last year was a record year, the average asking price was actually lower. So maybe people are kind of cutting their nose off to spite their face by being a bit too aggressive with the prices they're asking. Certainly, I've sort of seen a bit of that going on, although more on the kind of older yachts rather than these kind of new 70-meter pluses, which is what it looks like is selling at the moment. But we can take a look as well at the kind of the largest yacht to sell from each year. So this year, that was Carinthia 7. As we just mentioned, last year, that was Octopus, very famous. Then in 2020, Project Blue Marlin was the biggest sold. And in 2019, Project Jag was the largest yacht that was sold. But as well as Carinthia 7, this year, there were some other really big boats sold. There was Infinity, which is now called Cloud Nine, Secret, which is now called Sea Pearl, and as I mentioned earlier, the first Animals 80. There are reports on all of those on our website, so you can check out how much they sold for, and or at least the story behind how they sold, if you want to know more about those deals, because they are really big boats, big deals.
So while we're here looking at 70 meter plus sales, we may as well look at the market overall this year compared to previous years. So 2019, pre-COVID, we had 407 sales overall. That's of 24 meter plus yachts. Then 2020, in COVID, we had actually slightly more, 428. Then 2021, that record smashing year, we had 750. Then 2022, so far, we've had 385. So not bad, but doesn't look like it's going to hit 2021 quite yet. I wonder if it's interesting that it grew during COVID, and I wonder if that has anything to do with what we've heard from brokers in the market about people who were perhaps hesitant or thinking about getting into CPLs but hadn't quite done it yet, realizing that now was the time to buy, to get on a yacht with your family, with nobody else. So you don't need to go to a hotel and mix with other people. You've got your own private space. So actually, a super yacht is the perfect place to be during a pandemic.
Yeah, it kind of forced a lot of people's hands in that respect, I think, or people that, yeah, as you say, had been sort of sitting on the fence for a while. But be interesting to see, you know, where we get to by the end of this year. We always do our kind of forecasts and things. I think there'll be fewer sales than in 2020, which was 428. We're at 385 now. So we'll see. But that's it for this week's episode of Boat Briefing, which, as always, is mixed and produced by Grace Nielsen and is a production of Boat International Media. So don't forget to like and subscribe. Hope you enjoyed our Monaco debrief, and we'll see you next week.